morning and welcome to another edition of 1100 WHLI at your service. I'm John Daniels, and this morning we're going to be talking with Dr. James C. Murata, Murata Plastic Surgery Specialist in Smithtown. Dr. Murata is a dual board certified plastic surgeon, facial plastic surgeon here on Long Island, with degrees from some of the world's finest institutions, including Columbia and Yale universities. And I'm a Cornell alum, and I will still acknowledge those two universities as fine institutions.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Of course. Dr. Murata is a fellow of the American Academy of Facial Plastic and Reconstructive Surgery. And since 2013, he has consistently been named the best cosmetic surgeon on Long Island. You've seen Dr. Murata in a variety of TV and print media, including Harper's Bazaar, The Huffington Post, and Fox 5, Channel 5 in New York. Dr. Murata has recently written a new book called You're Not a Vanity Purchase, Why You Shouldn't Feel Bad About Looking Good. And we'll get into that as the book offers a deep dive into history, sociology, and psychology to show why plastic surgery is a form of empowerment, not pride. So I'm interested to hear about that. Good morning, Dr. Murata.
Good morning. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you for being here. And it's a very interesting field that you're in. And I guess I'm wondering, to start off with, what are the most common reasons people come in to see you at your office in Smithtown?
People come in, for something that they want improved about their appearance. I mean, obviously, as a cosmetic surgeon, it's an elective procedure. So they may have a concern about the shape or size of their nose, their eyelids, maybe as, with advancing age, their eyelids have become droopy or heavy. They may have neck looseness and, turkey neck, turkey gobbler, all those kinds of issues regarding the facial cosmetic surgery and facial improvement. And that's my area of focus and expertise. We do have a medical spa, so we do lots of non-invasive things, non-invasive body contouring with cool tone and sculpture and the gamut of radio frequency, microneedling, and all everything you can offer for cosmetic enhancement.
Sounds like a lot of opportunity there. And I guess one of the things that I'm curious about, now that New York and Long Island are starting to reopen fully, has anything changed as a result of the pandemic, changed not just for your practice, but in the type of things that people are looking to improve about themselves?
I mean, the pandemic has really affected cosmetic surgery in an unexpected way. There's been, it's a well-known factor called the Zoom boom. People seeing themselves on camera, seeing themselves in various lighting and angles. And then, of course, Instagram with filters, and people are just analyzing the way they look a lot more, and a lot more, of the attitude. Let's go for it. Let me enhance my appearance now, because there's, at least a few months ago, we were all wearing masks, we were all covered up. We might have been, and still people still are more likely to work from home. So people are taking that opportunity. They have the downtime. Apparently here on Long Island, the financial part of it doesn't factor into play, and people are really doing a lot more cosmetic surgery and cosmetic procedures in the post-pandemic world than they were pre-pandemic.
And you brought up where I was headed next in the masks, because, right, while you can see your full face on Zoom because everyone was, theoretically in their own home or in their own office by themselves, out in public, you only really saw people from the eyes and up. And now everyone is starting to see full faces again. And I was wondering to see if that has had an effect on people's need or desire to come in and want to work on their entire face.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, at least I thought when the pandemic hit, I thought, of course we had to close because it was required. Any ambulatory surgery center had to close for a while, for about a month and a half. Mm-hmm. And I just thought, well, when we come back, it's going to be crickets. And in fact, the opposite was true. The phone was ringing off the wall. Surgically, I'm booked, close to a year out. It's just people are just really, embracing the ability to enhance themselves and improve themselves for the better, especially in the pandemic's only affected that in a positive way.
Are you finding that most of the people who are coming in for consultations are women or men, or is it kind of an even split?
Historically, it's been overwhelming majority has been women. Okay. I'd say 90% of the people in my office are women, and about 10% are men. And that's held pretty steady over the course of years. But I think men are becoming definitely more aware that it's okay to do things to enhance their appearance. They're more concerned about their appearance in the workplace. They're more concerned about losing their hair or wrinkles that appear. And so you're seeing a lot more men coming in for these kinds of procedures. And I think their wives or their counterparts are kind of also they're getting more exposed to it. Mm-hmm. So they're learning about it more through their loved ones and then coming in. And that's very common. I'll have a wife come in and she does a facelift. And then a couple months later, I'm seeing the man and he's doing a facelift. So
right. Well, they probably take a couple's picture and she looks so much better. And the guy is probably like, well, I could probably use a little bit, little bit too. Are you finding that because of Zooms and work-related things that guys are having that heightened awareness of their full facial appearance and how they look?
Yeah, I mean, because of Zoom, because of meetings. I mean, obviously, there's also, I mentioned this in the book as well. Ageism is a real thing in the workplace and in life. People are judged by their appearance, and I think something like there was a study in the UK that showed about 35% of people felt the effects of ageism in the workplace, and that it somehow affected their advancement or ability to advance in the company. So I do see a lot of older people who are still young, vital in the workplace, but feel like they're not being perceived that way. And so they want to come in and really for more kind of almost a business-like decision, want to look a little bit younger.
Well, it's an interesting point too, in that the population, the average age of Long Island is tending to skew a little bit upward. And I wonder if that's going to be an important factor going forward.
I imagine so, yeah.
Yeah. We're with Dr. James C. Murata here on 1100 WHLI, at your service. My name is John Daniels. Dr. Murata's recent book, You're Not a Vanity Purchase, Why You Shouldn't Feel Bad About Looking Good. What was the reason why you decided to sit down, your busy schedule, and pen down this book?
Well, I've been in practice for, the better part of 16 years. And one of the consistent themes that I hear in coming from my patients, really almost on a daily basis, was this kind of remorse or guilt or second guessing about what they were doing, whether they should do this, whether it's that, they're being too vain, whether they're too concerned about the way they appear. And they needed emotional support and kind of a way of thinking about, their motivations. And I would routinely, especially, was one particular person, who stood out in my mind. She was in her mid 70s. Her husband passed away. She wasn't out on the dating scene. She had absolutely no motivation. She was just sitting there and going, am I crazy? Why do I do this to myself? Why do I even care at this point? So a kind of a light bulb went off in my head. And so, why does she care? There's got to be some kind of emotional, biological, sociological drive that's very strong that makes people care about the way they look to other people. And it's got to go beyond vanity. It's not just about, hey, I want to look good because I'm so full of myself, which is what most people perceive people who do cosmetic procedures to be. And that stigma, that negative stigma, really makes no sense when you look at the totality of the scientific evidence and the way that actual people in the cosmetic world pursue procedures. And the perception that it's these vain, vapid people is so far from the truth. My patients are everyday, normal, well-adjusted people who have a physical flaw that they can't get beyond. And that physical flaw is impeding their life in a real material way. We think about human interaction. I talk about this in the book. We're intensely visual and social beings. The two largest centers of our brain are visual centers and social centers. There's something like 30% of the brain is dedicated to visual processing, and we process people's faces and images in 30 milliseconds. And so we form opinions of people by the way they look, to a great degree. 55% of the population is a visual learner. So a lot of that visual information is encoded also in the social aspect of our lives. So people may be judging or prejudging you about your appearance, about your vitality, about your fitness, about your attractiveness in so many ways that it's nonverbal. It's not as well thought out as you think. Mm-hmm. And so that importance of understanding how the human biology works and the brain works comes back to why people should not feel guilty about being trying to look and feel their best and using all the tools that we have in medical science to avail themselves of that.
It's so fascinating. And like you alluded to, it really is a subconscious perception. You meet someone for the first time, whether it's in a social setting or a business setting, and immediately you start to make these judgments and assumptions And it's not something you're doing on purpose, but it's just based on the visual cues.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I in the book I talk about, you know, think back to sitting at a large party, or you know, I don't know, you go to your child's performance at the local school, and you're looking around the auditorium, you're scanning the audience, and you're sitting there with your loved one, your wife, your husband, and you're judging everybody about how they look. Oh, so-and-so looks good. Oh, they lost weight. Oh, that's human. Mm-hmm. We do that all the time. It's not, you know, it's not about vanity. It's not about, oh, well, it's just that is the way we evaluate. And evolutionarily, there's a reason. Mm-hmm. When we evolved, we were, you know, had to search for visual cues to alert our amygdala to danger, right? And one of the dangers was disease. A lot of diseases affect our appearance, okay? And some things like syphilis, tuberculosis, leprosy, they particularly can affect your facial appearance, mm-hmm. causing facial deformities. So when you see somebody with something that's not exactly perfect or right on the face, sometimes it will signal your danger zone or your amygdala to say, okay, well, then maybe this is somebody that can contain disease, or maybe I should stay away from. So it's kind of hardwired into our brains to make these judgments about people.
The book that Dr. Murata is referring to is his new book, You're Not a Vanity Purchase. We're with Dr. James C. Murata this morning, plastic surgeon with an office in Smithtown on Jericho Turnpike. Now, when you talk about what went into the book and your many years of practicing patients right here on Long Island and the research that you did for it, what level does it just come down to confidence, that it's a self-confidence issue, that people want to be more confident, whether it be in social settings or at work in the business world?
I mean, I think confidence is really the whole, you know, Megillah. You know, and when you look good, you get a new haircut, you bought some new clothes and you walk in and people say, hey, you look pretty good. You know what? it kind of boosts your inner, you know, your inner spirit. You're able to communicate with people better. You're able to engage people socially better. You feel better about yourself. And there's this kind of crazy, you know, this feedback loop. You know, if you look good, you feel good. People perceive you well, they give you positive feedback, you feel better, and you function better.
It's a cycle.
Mm-hmm. And it's just, that's how, you know, again, how the human brain works. And that's why people, you know, that confidence, and the converse is, you know, if you, and I talked about this in the book, you know, we've all had this, that you know, in our adolescent years, or maybe even now, I mean, that monster zit on your face. And, you know, you don't want to go to the party. You don't want to, you know, call up the girl you're thinking about asking out on a date. You're going to wait until that zit goes away because no matter what, you know, it's there on your face and you can't wish it away. You can't say it's just vanity. I'm going to have some inner confidence. I'm going to go beyond that. It really is something that impedes your feeling about yourself. And in a way, a lot of sometimes things about our faces and bodies that do get to that level, you know, people have, you know, if they have gynecomastia, they don't want to take their shirts off and go in a pool. They don't want to, you know, if they've had a couple children and they have a big skin roll, they don't want to, you know, wear a bikini anymore. They just don't want to engage in parts of life that are fun, you know, because they get that physical flaw that impedes their appearance. I remember very vividly, you know, my first 5 years of practice, I had this young kid and he came back and he literally cried in my office. And he said, you know, for the first time in my life, I have a girlfriend. You know, he had his nose done. He had a chin implant and he just couldn't get beyond. He had a huge nose, very, you know, retrusive, mousy chin. He went from that to being a handsome young guy and just was able to engage in life on a level that he never was able to get past before.
That confidence that came from it,
you know. And you could sit there and say, okay, well, he can just wish that away and he can find that inner, you know, confidence to overcome it psychologically. But it's also, you know, sometimes impossible for people, you know. And it's not a weakness, it's not vanity, it's not being less than human, it's actually being human.
Sure.
You know,
when patients come into you, do people come with the thought, I want to do A, B, and C? Or are they just coming in saying, Dr. Murata, I know I need to improve my appearance, and then ask you for your opinions? Is it more that they're looking for advice, or they're coming saying, I want this, I want this, I want this?
I think that, you know, there's two kinds of patients. There's the patient that comes in, hey, doc, you know what you're doing. I trust you. You know, tell me what I need, you know, that you get those kinds of patients. And then, which makes me, you know, less comfortable. I really like patients who have an idea of what they're looking for. And some patients will come in with very specific, you know, they're the other end of the spectrum. Not only are they know what they want, but they're actually telling me how I'm going to do the operation, which, you know, that that is also scary as well. So you kind of want, you know, but patients, they're all over the place. You know, male patients and female patients differ a little bit as well. You know, men tend to be a lot more transactional. You know, hey, doc, I want A, B, and C. Mm-hmm. How much is it going to cost?
Right.
What's the date? Okay, here's, you know, that's it. You know, whereas women want to explore their feelings around the procedures, their feelings about, you know, the, get more information, really talk about more in depth, the, you know, what's going to be done and, you know, how it's going to, how they're going to feel about it, et cetera. So,
right.
Yeah.
Well, good morning. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to 1100 WHLI at your service. My name is John Daniels, and our special guest this morning, Dr. James C. Murata of Murata Plastic Surgery Specialists, 895 West Jericho Turnpike in Smithtown, online at MurataMD.com. And Dr. Murata, with his new book, You're Not a Vanity Purchase. And one of the themes that you talk about in the book, and you mentioned it earlier in the show, is this thought of the guilt of plastic surgery. And people sometimes have that guilt. And when they come in to see you and you talk about what procedure or procedures they might need, how do you coach them through handling that guilt?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a very important part of my job, is to give people, I wanted, that's one of my motivations also behind the book, was to not only, you know, provide an answer for my patients, but provide an answer for myself. How do I coach people through the guilt? How do I tell them, you know, teach them that it's not just about, you know, they don't need to be guilty about wanting to improve their appearance, because again, it is so important to our lives and our social interaction. The valuation is beyond vanity. You know, it's not something that you can just, you know, say is a guilty pleasure or a sin. You know, I mean, I think in America, and I talk about culturally, I think in America, mm-hmm. we have a much different perception of cosmetic surgery than what exists in the world and beauty in the beauty industry in general. You know, we feel here that it's it is vanity. It is a sin. It is, you know, something that needs to be laughed at or scoffed at. And, you know, every once in a while, despite the myriad celebrities that go and have cosmetic surgery, you know, you'll have Jane Fonda come out and say, okay, after my 12th facelift, I'm going to say, swear off plastic surgery, because it's really a horrible thing and one should age gracefully, quote unquote, you know. And so you get this kind of interesting tug of war in America about whether plastic surgery should be accepted or shouldn't be accepted, and whether people who get it should be kind of made to feel less than people who don't do it. And I think that's really was one of the motivations too, because seeing that tug of war and seeing my patients struggle with that was the reason that one of the main reasons that I wrote the book. So, you know, in terms of the guilt, I think it really depends on where it comes from. You know, I once had a patient that I did a, you know, what we call full facial rejuvenation. So she had really the whole thing, brow lift, upper and lower lids, facelift, fat injections, laser, everything. And her family gave her the hardest time and said, you know, why would you do this? Why would you spend all this money? You're going to look like one of those freaks in Hollywood. How could you, you know, and she literally was in tears in the office. You know, and with the support of the staff and with my support, not, you know, of course saying, look, you know, if this is what you're running into with your friends and family and it's distracting and you have to feel good about it and you have to want to go forward with it. And she did. So she got through the procedure and, of course it wasn't even easier in recovery because you look like you've been in a car accident for the first couple of days, which is normal. Sure. Right. And then as she was recovering, but then all of a sudden, you know, she turned the corner, she looked great. She looked fat. Her family completely turned around and said, hey mom, you know, I kind of understand why you did that. And you look wonderful and she's still a patient to this day. I mean, she was a nightmare patient because she would come in all the time, just crying hysterically about her family torturing her over the guilt. So, you know, it's, sounds, you know, like, you know, well, boo-hoo for her, but, you know, it was a horrible experience for that woman, and I felt that no one should have to go through that. They should, you know, they should have
the support of their friends and family when, you know, whether doing it, you know, if they're doing it for the right reasons.
Right. Yeah. And if you have the thought of this might be something for you, you're hearing some of the stories that Dr. Murata is sharing this morning and you're thinking, that really sounds like me. I wonder if I should go see him. The office for Murata Plastic Surgery Specialist is on West Jericho Turnpike in Smithtown. You can also find him through the website, which is MurataMD.com. And earlier in the show, we were talking about some of the differences between male patients and female patients. When it comes to the guilt, do you find that it skews to one gender or the other, or is it pretty even as far as men and women having this conscious or subconscious guilty feeling about wanting to have that improvement?
Yeah. I think women at least express it more.
Okay.
I think women in general express their feelings a lot more than men do. I think the men, if they do feel the guilt, they suppress it. So it's, like I said, their interactions with males are a lot more transactional, a lot faster. You know, hey, I want X, Y, and Z, because maybe they are feeling the guilt and they just want to kind of get past that and just, you know, hey, jump in and just do it and get that part over with. Mm-hmm. But women will tend to really just want to discuss that part more with me and our patient care coordinators and go into their feelings about the procedure they're having, whether they're, you know, whether they're doing the right thing, whether they can, you know, and we actually have a, you know, list of very, you know, of patients who are like a support network. Mm-hmm. So if somebody's, you know, going through that situation where they're wondering if they're doing the right thing or they feel, you know, they want to discuss different issues, they can call up a patient who's been through it already and kind of share those, you know, experiences. So having that confidence, you know, going into the procedures also helps everybody because it helps them have the confidence, hey, that everything's normal, they're healing well, that their life is going to be, you know, good on the other side of it. So they've, you know, having that contact with a patient who's gone through it before has been very helpful.
That's wonderful. And I think it speaks a lot to you as the lead physician and to your entire practice that past patients are comfortable enough to share their experiences and talk about in a real kind of way what that new patient is going to go through.
Yeah. It's a great, great thing. It used to be a lot harder for us to get patients to do, you know, to do that because people are just more private, especially facelift patients. They tend to be a lot more private. They don't want anybody to really know. So they don't share their pictures as often. They don't, but nowadays, like, you know, that's one of the differences as people, especially the younger people, a lot more willing to share, you know, willing to give back to somebody who might be going through the same thing. So their Instagram, you know, photos will be, they'll be taking their own before and afters on Instagram before we can even get them up, you know, showing everybody, hey, look, this is my day number 4 of my rhinoplasty. Here's my cast and look at my bruising. And they want to kind of document the whole thing. So that, I think the younger generation has rubbed off on other people in cosmetic surgery now. So we're seeing a lot more people willing to share their experience. Yeah.
So for any of our listeners right now that are listening and thinking that they want to reach out to you and they go to MurataMD.com, walk me through the process of, well, obviously first an appointment would be set, but when that patient comes in and sees for the first time, how does the process begin?
Yeah, well, our whole process, we call it the transformational experience. We really take time to give people, you know, what we'd like to think is an experience akin to the Ritz-Carlton or you know, their Disney, where we make you the center of our world. You know, we have something called the patient-centric model. Our world revolves around the patients because that's, you know, obviously what we're here for. So you'll come in, you'll meet, you know, our very friendly staff. You'll meet with one of our patient care coordinators. They can give you any and all information you need about the procedures and recovery and all that stuff. And then, of course, meet with me and where we'll do a full customized analysis of the potential procedures that you're interested in. We even have, you know, computer models before and after imaging where we can provide a little visual for you and show you, of course, plenty of patient experiences, whether they're photographs, of, you know, visuals or movies or put you in contact with previous patients. So we really guide you through the whole process. And then once you decide to have surgery, you know, we have a great team of dedicated healthcare workers that make people feel great through the experience and address everybody's, you know, comfort to the nth degree. So, yeah.
Excellent. I was just reading as you were talking about that, some of the reviews of the book. One right here from a facial plastic surgeon and Wall Street Journal bestselling author, Rich Castellano. His book is called The Smile Prescription, but he says about your book, considering facial plastic surgery, Dr. Murata's book offers a candid and insightful description of plastic surgery in today's world. He is known for his integrity and superior patient outcomes, and he is a leader in our industry. And I suppose getting that kind of feedback from other industry leaders is something that's very well received.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Rich is a, you know, that was a really great comment from him. I really appreciate that his backing.
One of the things that I love about the book, too, is how much science you've put into it. You know, a lot of times, and you hinted on it earlier in the program, that sometimes there's a lot of vanity reasons and things like that. But no, you break it down from a scientific basis about why someone might want to and then go through with procedures like this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I think, you know, being a physician, I you know, have a obviously a scientific mind. We tend to lead with that when we're wondering why something is the way it is. But I think there's some comfort in that, you know, saying that, you know, okay, from an evolutionary perspective, you know, our brains have a lot of visual power, a lot of social power, and we're meant to, in some ways, look good so we can feel good. Right. And that's really being human. And that the fact that science backs that, and that, you know, as we age, from an aging perspective, some of the things that happen to our bodies are really scientifically explained. You know, we lose 1% of collagen in our skin per year. Our little rubber band fibers in our faces, well, they're elastin. Those snap as we age. Mm. Our decrease in hyaluronic acid. All those aging processes don't necessarily need to be seen as, you know, as something that's normal. Just like any other malfunction of a human organ or human system, we use medicines all the time to intervene. So cosmetic surgery, facial plastic surgery, non-surgical cosmetic enhancements, all those things could be seen as any other form of medicine. Mm-hmm. You know, the body is aging, it's malfunctioning, and we're using science to basically reverse that.
It's so fascinating. I've really enjoyed our time this morning. I really appreciate you coming in, Dr. Murata. Dr. James C. Murata, dual board certified plastic surgeon right here on Long Island, author of the new book, You're Not a Vanity Purchase, Why You Shouldn't Feel Bad About Looking Good, by Dr. James C. Murata. And of course, that is available wherever books are purchased, Amazon and the like. And if you'd like to reach out to Dr. Murata, I encourage you to do so. Murata Plastic Surgery Specialist, located at 895 West Jericho Turnpike in Smithtown, and online at muratamd.com. Well, thank you again for joining us this morning here at 1100 WHLI on At Your Service.
Thank you for having me, Andrew. Thank you.